Hi there. Good evening. Welcome to Divine Connections. This is Sue Fields Delamonte, and I am joined tonight with the beautiful and talented Lynn Bleasdale. Jessica is taking the night off. Oh, well, you are.
Thank you. Well, I invited Jaden to join us.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, he can be there. He can be with his mom. He can be with us at the same time. It just works that way. And that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Sylvia is going to be hanging around tonight a little bit, too.
Yeah. I've got an awful lot of activity. I've got my little light going. And we've definitely got some connections going there. So that's pretty cool. I'm hoping it's
That's
Ryan
good.
And Eric and Jaden with us tonight, but you never know.
The more the merrier.
I'd say so.
All positive
energies
are welcome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
our topic is about fear. And fear can make us weak. Or it can be the energy that challenges and transforms us. How do we transcend the fear that so often hinders us from being everything we came here to be? Which I think is a very good topic. There's so many different aspects of fear that weasel its way into our lives on a daily basis.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about it?
Well, no, as you just said, it's like there's so many aspects. I'm almost thinking that we should do this topic again, like fear part two next week. You can't, like we're in a climate. Yeah, we're in a climate of fear right now, and people are losing their marbles more than they used to before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know I'm working, the clients that I'm working with are, it's a new kind of fear. And I think it's partly we're hardwired to want certainty about things. You know, we really want to know that our home is safe, our family's safe. And the actual truth is like we're not safe ever, really. You know, we can have the illusion of safety, but, oh, man, you know. I remember reading in a Mad magazine of all things years ago, these guys hiding and the family's like, why are you hiding, you guys? If a piece of rock shrapnel got your name on it, there's no place to hide, right? And it's just because dad was mowing the lawn. They were afraid of getting hit by the rocks. But it sort of applies to life, too. You know, it's like you can't really see what's around the bend. And we're all going to get nailed by something. It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
You cannot hide from... Yeah, what did Hamlet call it? The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Holy cow. And they come at you, right? And
they do.
They really do. And one of the funny fears that I've encountered in people, and I think probably myself a little bit too, is if some good stuff happens, you're almost afraid to be happy. Because it's like,
the
gods do not like. Yeah. The gods do not like to perceive two happy mortals. It's like, hey, that guy's like smiling too much. What can we whack him with? But it's very true, yeah. So you can, I read something very astute, I guess. It's almost like a Zen koan, and it made me think a lot. And it's that everything that you're afraid of has already happened to you. Has that to blow your mind?
True.
Yeah. But it is true. Like if you've already been afraid of it, you've already had the fear reaction, you know, so if it's, whether it's real fear or a fear that's the monkey mind chattering about what if.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're no stranger to fear,
be,
Sue.
Like you were saying, it can be stuff that's already happened and we just keep up. It's like, I know with the way that I was raised, the family, the household that I grew up in, I lived most of my life in fear. Fear of, you know, the physical, fear of the emotional, fear of everything. And that I carried that on into my adulthood. And there were times I would get terrified even if my phone rang because I would think it was something bad going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it
you get
kind of
used to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was probably in my late 40s, early 50s before I was able to overcome a lot of that fear that I know was carried over from childhood.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It's like now with everything that's going on in the world and some of the fears that we have are they're not rational at all. And then other
mm-hmm.
fears we have are very valid fears. I mean, the fear of the pandemic. No, don't be extremely petrified where you turn into a hermit. And
mm-hmm.
nobody really, you know, we don't really know all the details of it, but whatever makes you feel comfortable and alleviates the fear to do with that, do it. And who cares what anybody else thinks? And then, you know, the fear of financial stability, the fear of just everything. It's the other day, my granddaughter was at a very public gathering and had a gentleman following her who was not American gentleman, following her and the children around.
Ew.
So we have, yeah, and that happens all the time. So we have, you know, the fear of our safety every day. And
oh. Yeah.
And we have to be aware of everything, but we can't let it control us.
Mm-hmm.
To
yeah.
be prepared, you know. It's, I guess
mm-hmm.
that comes from my prepper background, just to be prepared.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I can see why there are people who are sort of, what are they called, like they go out in the woods and learn how to, survivalists. Yeah, thank you.
Survivalists, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where they're coming from. I think some
mm-hmm.
of them take it a wee bit too far. And there are some,
yeah.
you know, when it gets a political bent to it, it can be kind of icky. But the ones who, you know, I actually, you know, I like knowing how to do things when, if the grid goes down, I know
right.
I can, you know, knowing how to use plants and first aid and all that stuff if you have to function without, you know, the comforts of home for a while. You know, you've got to know how to make
yeah.
fire
well,
even,
isn't it,
you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny? I mean, I know this is off the fear topic, but it's on with the preparedness. Isn't it funny how people nowadays will look at preppers and survivalists as freaks and weirdos and paranoid when most of our ancestors were preppers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I studied, I've always, the foraging and whatnot. I've always studied
yeah.
like plants and mushrooms and, you know, how to make it in the woods if you need to and whatnot. And I have always been laughed at by a mainstream by, you know, called a silly hippie and laughed at and treated
yeah.
as if I'm like not quite there. And I'm like, dude, you're going to need me if the grid goes down and you don't know what you're doing. But let's hope it doesn't, you know, let's hope we can keep going.
Right.
And I see a lot of people switching to, you know, sustainable power and doing it sensibly, you know, knowing that we can't rely on big oil and stuff forever, but we're doing it, you know, like we've grown up and we're using different methods now. And that's good. You know, another
yeah.
fear that I think we've been encountering a lot in some of our callers and some of our clients is a fear of death. people are like freaked out by the idea of it all. Like it's the fear of going, blinking out, right, and not being anymore. And it's hard to explain to people that it's not going to happen. Like, don't worry about that part. And I've said to more than a couple of people, we've got so much activity on the light here. I'm just getting flashing like crazy here. Wow. I wish we should probably do a Zoom with video sometime, and we'll use the light and we'll get people to join us in a Zoom session.
That would be
kind
great.
Of exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
anyway,
it's funny
that
you... it's funny that you would bring up, you know, the fear of death.
Yeah.
It's like doing what we do, and we know all about the afterlife and everything like that. We know that even though your physical form is gone, your spirit lives on forever, and you're always right there, but I'm terrified of death. I'm terrified of death. Yes, I'm not ready.
And yet, you know, because when you said our spirit goes on forever, the light surged very bright. I kind of think we've got Ryan with us because he's like, you know, he died twice before he left. He transitioned, two motorcycle accidents where, so he had already kind of dipped into that energy. And I wonder too, Sue, like, cause you know darn well that once the physical body ends, you still are going to be you. It just is how that works, but you are expanded. I wonder if it's not like, it's very freaking annoying to die before you get your stuff done. Do you know what I mean?
And
like, you've always got so many.
I've got so much that I want to do and I need to do. And, you know, all my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And I'm not ready to go anywhere yet. I want to live to be 100.
You probably will because, you know, they're just not letting you off that easily, my dear, you know. You're around for the whole, all the innings, I guess. But fear of death is a really, I urge people to read, just go on YouTube and look up. We're getting a lot of activity here. Go on to YouTube and just look up near-death experiences, most particularly Anita Morjani is the person I'm following closely. It just resonates what she's been through. And I've gone like to the edge a few times through either illness or doing dumb things without thinking of the consequences, you know. And it's amazing. Like, I'm not afraid of like the end, but I'm greatly annoyed by having, if I have to cut it short. And I think, you know, there's people like, they've just got things they want to do that they want to be. And there's the soul, that voice of the soul calling you. It's like the song goes, you know, I've heard that song calling. It's something I'm supposed to be. And that urge to keep changing and growing and bettering our soul's energy, because that's what we're here for, is to learn. And one thing I've noticed over and over is that situations that have in the past caused me to be fearful and want to like run away screaming, I find if you stay there and face whatever it is, it diminishes in power. So facing your fears, whatever they may be, takes the power away from them. It really does. And if you're afraid of death, for example, volunteer at a hospice, you'll be surprised at how part of the whole journey that death is, it's like, it's not unnatural. It's creepy, you know, when it's a child or someone who's young, who's not, you know, but the thing is, a well-lived life is nothing to be afraid of, and a well-earned death, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's pain, I think, people fear. I know my friend Mitch,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, my friend Mitch, when he got ill, I work with him now from the other side, but when he was here and he was ill, he said, I don't want it to hurt. And it wasn't death that scared him. It was he didn't want it to hurt while he was on his way out.
Yeah.
You were saying, Sue.
I think a lot of people are afraid of death, too, because so much of society has been brainwashed into, you know, if you're not a good person, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're not going to heaven.
They have the
fear, was I good enough? Was I enough? Did I do enough?
Wow.
And
that's what advertising does, too, puts the fear of in you. Are you stinky?
Yeah.
Do you have pimples? All these things, they make you fear. You know, am I ugly? Am my hair not shiny enough? All these things, they bring fear up. That's horrible. Be very, very wary of if you're being made to be afraid of stuff, be very wary about the source, right? Is it something silly like, you know, advertising, you have to got this outfit because, you know, you're not going to be cool if you don't have it. You know, don't be afraid of, you know, all that stuff and what people think of you know. What did Ryan always say? What other people think of me is none of my business and certainly nothing to be afraid of.
Sylvia
absolutely.
Used to say that all the time. Sylvia said it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, she knew whereof she spoke because that's one of the biggest sources of fear is like disappointing people, letting people down. And it's like breaking promises you don't even remember making. It's when people lay their expectations on you. You're like, not sure why I owe this to this person, but I'm feeling guilty if I don't. It's very weird how we get messed with. And religion, I think, not to offend anyone who follows a religion, but if the dogma is telling you that you're going to burn if you do this, that, or the other thing, or frightening you with visions of HE double hockey sticks, then you probably should rethink, really rethink what they're saying. And,
we all have to believe in what we believe in, but make sure you believe in it because it speaks to your soul and not because somebody's telling you to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, afraid of the consequences. Yeah. Well, I don't know what the solution is because fear whams us every day, but I do know that one of the big solutions I use if, you know, something gets to me is the breathing. You start doing the breath work immediately when you feel the anxiety coming in. Because once you start, the fear starts to grip you. Then the hormones start to rage, the cortisol, the adrenaline, all the fear response hormones. And those are pretty bad for you. So make sure that you start the breathing. And you can use herbals and whatnot for... I mean, I guess if you totally need them, there's medicine that you can take to calm anxiety and whatnot. But try the herbals, the simple herbals, you know, St. John's wort, lemon balm, stuff like that. if you can, like, hit it with a fly swatter rather than a sledgehammer, you're probably better off doing that. But, you know, whatever works for you.
Absolutely.
But fears to be faced, you know, and if you do face your fears, you find they haven't got half the strength as you thought they had, you know.
Yeah.
And about 90% of everything we're afraid of is not actually going to happen, right? It's stuff
so
we build
true.
Up in our minds. And, it's funny. We're going on and on, but I think we'll put this topic up again next week because we've got lovely patient people waiting to call and talk to us. So should we take our callers, Sue, and see what we can find out about fear from
them?
Alrighty, then.
Absolutely. We'll go with our first caller, area code 323. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Greetings. This is David. I'm in California.
Hi, David.
Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Two quick stories. I was just listening to you talk. I have two quick stories based on what you were saying. For my 25th birthday, I decided that I was going to go live in the woods and I wasn't going to come out until I was enlightened. And I had no survival skills whatsoever, and I went up into the woods of the northern peninsula of Michigan, and I could deal with the skunks, I could deal with the raccoons, could deal with the wild rats, but it was a bear that drove me back to civilization. So it turns out that I was scared of bears.
Oh.
And
that's actually, no, that's wisdom, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
What does the wizard
say? The bear wants your peanut butter.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
You give it to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bear wins.
Yeah, you can get more peanut butter. Oh, my goodness. But the wizard said, you know, you're confusing wisdom with courage. You know, he's saying he runs away from danger. And that's not being a chicken. That's wisdom. So there you go, David. That's cool.
Yeah. And then 10 years later, my grandmother had a very long death process, and she was in a convalescent home for about a year. In the last 6 months, I slept in her room every night. And at the very end of her life, when one of the nurses in particular, was telling me, listen, the pain medicine's not working. I think she's in agony. You have to tell her to leave. And so I had to actually stand there and tell my grandmother that it was time to go. And she was spitting at me and cursing at me, and it was like a scene out of The Exorcist. And I was just sitting there standing there saying, there's nothing more they can do for you. And she had open wounds on her body, and I mean, it was just, I mean, you could smell her. They had said she was going to pass like months before she did. And so there I am, you know, with this nurse at 3 a.m. telling my grandmother she's got to go. And so she did actually leave the next morning. And the nurse said, that was brilliant. Don't ever tell anyone what you did. And so here I am telling you, but it doesn't matter. It's, you know, that was 25 years ago. And then the nurse said to me, you have no fear of death. And she said, that's a gift, but it's also a curse because it's going to scare other people. And she was right. If you're not afraid of death, people are scared of you.
Oh, good point. Wow.
Yeah. You know, I've questioned that myself before when people say, oh, I'm not afraid to die. Well, why in the hell not? You know,
I have no
I'm not
fear
ready
at all.
To go.
Yeah. I have no fear of death whatsoever.
Too much life to live. I mean, I guess I can understand it, but I look at it like, if I go, I go. No big deal. You know, it's, Instead of accepting that they honestly don't have a fear, but that's my monkey mind playing into it.
Yeah. Wow. David, could you tell me, who's Lizzie? Liz or Lizzie?
No one that, I mean, I had a kind of a lifelong fascination with Elizabeth Taylor, and I actually did meet her once, but that would be the only one that I can think of.
I don't think Elizabeth Taylor would refer to herself as Lizzie.
No, she wouldn't.
But I think
not at
if
all.
It's not, okay, if this is not for you, then I think I know who's coming through here. So we'll just leave her to the side. I think she's maybe helping. There is a Lizzie I know, and I think I'm feeling her energy come through. But I think we may just be getting some guys in the studio, you know, coming for the coffee and tequila and the donuts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
Unless you've got a Lizzie, Sue.
Well, it's funny because as soon as you said Lizzie, I got a different Lizzie name.
Yeah.
It was on the topic of death and fear. And
Well, no worries. I mean, I never want to push for it, you know. But the name came through, and I wrote it down.
If you're channeling Lizzie Borden, we should write a book.
Oh no, I don't think so.
But do you know
Lizzie?
That?
I'm feeling.
Lizzie Borden no longer went by Lizzie after her parents' death.
Well, yeah. I changed my name too.
She changed her name.
Huh. All good. But, and by the way, I think both Sue and I have both done that thing where you've told the person to go. It's okay to go. And I've said to them, you'll still be you. And they go within like the day, the next day or that night or whatever. That's a really excellent thing if you can do that, David. And you actually, do you practice your light work on a regular basis?
Not really. I'm actually completely like cut off from the world and kind of living like a hermit at this point. I had a lot of people, I mean, my experience was people weren't interested in what I was offering, and I just said, okay, fine, I'm packing my toys and going home. And so I'm kind of like, I have my beautiful dream house, and I'm, you know, I kind of live behind my walls and rarely come out.
Oh, I totally hear you. I really do. It's the island, everybody's dream of that island where nobody can get you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A safe place, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
And it's not even, I'm not scared of being out in the world. I don't connect easily, and there's not a lot of the world out there that I want to experience. I've done a lot in my lifetime, and actually that's kind of segues into the reason one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you ladies and see if you had any insight is I am increasingly detached from the world, and I spend hours a day in meditation, and I can be pretty far out there. And I'm wondering if I'm all clear with all my relationships in this lifetime, or because there's been one person that I haven't talked to in 25 years, but they've been on my mind a lot, and I'm like, wait, you know, am I opening a can of worms, or do I just let it go? And I'm just kind of wondering if there's anything left undone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I want to give you a quote, if you don't mind, David, a quotation from Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
Because I think it applies to you. And he's referring to spring. And he says, in spring, there were no problems except where to be happiest. The only thing that could spoil a day was people. And if you could keep from making engagements, each day had no limit. And I feel like I don't think you're cut off completely from your own species. I think it's more that it's the different drummer. And I think as an empath and a very psychic person, you feel the world in a whole other way from most people. And it does make you feel, because I speak from experience, you feel like a weirdo. You feel like an outsider. You don't feel on the same wavelength, and that's because you're not. But that doesn't mean that you aren't going to connect with other people who are at that frequency. And you know you are surrounded by those, that you do have a spirit team for sure, that you can feel that. And I think the reason that my friend Lizzie came through here is because she had the same kind of energy that you're describing. She was a bit of a loner. And if she wasn't a creep or anything, she just preferred to be in nature. Nature made more sense to her. She breathed nature. She connected with nature. And I think, you know, you're just, that's the best place you communicate. But I wouldn't despair. I think there are relationships down the road for you. And they're going to be with other, quote, weirdos like you think yourself was, you know. But, hey, we're all bonkers here, right? Sue, sorry, I'm babbling away here, but carry on. Carry on, hon.
Well, I have to say really quick. So I actually lived in Key West across the street from Ernest Hemingway's house. I literally lived 100 feet, 50 feet from his house.
I'm not surprised that quotation came through then. When I channel energies that were celebrities in the past life, They're not. He's not like Ernest Hemingway. He's just the energy who was Hemingway. So
right.
It probably came through as a sympathetic vibration for you. Doesn't
right.
surprise me one bit. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, David, when I was saying your safe place, I didn't mean like fear from the world. It's more of a spiritual safe place.
Right.
It's
my own
little
oasis.
Yeah, that's where you can be completely you, and you don't have to worry
right.
about interference. And I keep getting an image of like Buddha with your journey.
Okay.
And I don't think that your journey with other people is over. I feel like you are working more towards enlightenment, and when you reach what you're seeking, you're going to open up more and have more to share with the outside world, and there is going to be some relationships coming in that desperately need what you have to teach them. You have a very special gift, and that's what you're working on now. And you're going to be sharing that more. It's not going to be like a major open forum type thing, but there are going to be individuals that need what you have to share.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So the other, I appreciate that. The other interesting thing is the person that I was particularly thinking about, that like am I square with? There's a Key West connection. So literally the Ernest Hemingway and the Key West, and also the quote was very relevant. So thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I have a bit more here too, David, because.
Hit me.
Have you ever read, there's a lovely little book called I Heard the Owl Call My Name by a woman named Margaret Craven. Have you ever read it?
I've not read that book, no, but I do like owls.
Well, the owl came through, and I actually, if you've never read it, find it. It is absolutely amazing, and I think it will resonate for you. It's very much to do with this young preacher moves into an indigenous, a village, right? And he
right.
has to learn how to live in the wilderness. And, you know, he's always, it's funny, but it's a very charming book, but it's very magical and spiritual too. So if you find it, but anyway, the owl came in. And I just want to read if I can get, okay, so the owl as a spirit animal for you represents the deep connection that you share with wisdom, good judgment, and knowledge. Our owl is known for its sharp vision and keen observation. So it talks about your insight and intuition. You can see beyond the masks that people wear. And I think that's part of the thing, the reason you may shun, you know, the mainstream. But
yeah.
The owl comes through for you to just acknowledge that you can trust those instincts, right? And it doesn't mean you're a creep. It doesn't mean you're a misanthrope or anything awful like that. It just means that the vibration that you tend to run at doesn't harmonize with the mainstream. And many people, you know, we hate to say it, but there's a lot of people that are sleepwalking through life. And, you know, they're not aware, and they might even like punch you in the face for being spiritual, right? They're like, you can't feel that way.
Right.
Pow, pow. And, you know, so you're just being smart, and you're just being wise, and you're being protective of your sacred self. Nothing wrong with that. However, if you do happen to pull energies to you that resonate, don't turn them away or shun them, because there is something to be said for connecting with people that get you, right? And if they don't get you, well, then they're not meant to be in your journey, you know? So I celebrate you, David. I think you should develop your abilities. And I think, as Sue said, I think that there's a huge potential as a teacher for you, right?
Mm.
I would explore that and maybe just dab a toe into the big wide world a few times and put a feeler out. Like you don't have to, you know, move into the middle of downtown Manhattan or anything, but make a few connections because I think, I think you just, there's something that's to be gained from finding some like-minded individuals. And I think, you know, I'm getting a feeling, and tell me, Sue, if this resonates, I kind of feel like you find down the road, you find a group where you can work with people and, you know, even have a location. Are you able to get to any kind of a town or village anything from where you are?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm in Palm Springs. I mean, I live two doors down from Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm in society. I literally have a big property with walls up and bushes, and nobody can see my house, and I have no reason to ever leave because I have a beautiful property. I have my organic gardens, and I have a 50-foot saltwater pool, and so, you know, and like when I go out in the world, everyone's in masks and everyone's behaving crazy. And I just don't want to participate.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And I totally hear you. And it makes total sense to me. But don't be afraid to sort of peek out once in a while. Because when those like-minded souls come along, they can really make your life expand and you can really get some synergy going. And so keep your feelers out for those who would not mock you for being, you know, highly sensitive. You know, you are one of those guys that, you know, your antennae pick up all the time. And the world quite rightly overwhelms you. But down the road, if you can share some of your wisdom, some of your owl wisdom down the road, I think people will listen and will respectfully listen. They won't bombard you, you know. But if you feel like it, David, join the Sacred Embers group, you know, and just see if you don't, you know, just don't connect with a few like-minded individuals, you know.
All right, I will check it out.
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, but it's certainly an option because there's nobody's going to point and laugh or make you feel weird, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I think,
I
just kind of feel you're not going to be a loner completely. There are going to be people that enhance your life a bit too, you know? They are out there, believe it or not.
I know, but I haven't found any in about 10 years. So, I'm not struggling for, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of spiritual confidence. I mean, you know, not many people go out and live in the woods at 25 with no wilderness skills. So, I mean, I've always been balls to the walls with my spiritual path. It's just kind of like, you know, when it's so calm and there's nothing going on, and it's not just because of what's, you know, the pandemic, but I'm going on like 12 years now of just like hiding out.
Well, you know what? Thoreau said stuff about, you know, he was a big champion of, you know, being quiet and not listening to the chatter and I totally get that, you know. I think you're on the right track for you for sure. But don't be surprised if you don't find yourself completely alone down the road, you know. It might surprise you. You might like, oh, wow, you know, you're not a dink. But, you know, it's like you might just be surprised by it. But, oh, dear, it's too funny. But, yeah, and don't forget that the souls that we're all on Earth together, but there's people that all of us are at different stages of evolution, right, our soul's evolution, right? So we have to kind of, you know, the tolerance can get a bit much. And I first fully admit, you know, I'm a hider too. Like, I'd rather hang in my garden and talk to my dog than hang out with most people. But,
right.
You gotta love, gotta just put the love out there anyway. You know, I try to feel what I'm feeling, but love anyway, because, you know, just, it's what else you got, right?
Right. And, you know, one other thing I wanted, when I was listening to you talk about fear, one thing, and this is actually probably the number one thing that helped me to navigate the fears that I've had in my life, is when I've had a panic attack or when the fears come to me, I've said, what if this isn't even my fear? What if I'm just experiencing this? What if this is just passing through me? Why should I take this personally? And ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. If you can detach from it even just a little, it has so much less grip on you. And if you can learn to say, this might not even be mine. I might be picking this up from the ether. This might be my neighbor's fear. This doesn't have to be mine. I can let it go. And if you can do it once with a little one and practice it, it really will – it becomes a skill that you can actually, like, oh, I let that go. I don't care.
Wow.
You know,
that's
a very,
brilliant.
Very good point. Being empath, we do pick up on all of the energy around us. And picking up on somebody else's fear, that's one of the things that I learned to do, was ask, is this mine or is this somebody else's that I'm picking up?
Right.
So that is a very, very good point.
And
it's
surprising how often a lot of stuff comes to us that's not, that, you know, we're just an antenna that we're picking up signals from all around us.
Yeah.
And it, you don't have to take it all personally. I mean, that's one of the, you know, the dramas of the human condition is we take everything personally. Well, maybe you can have a panic attack and not take it personally and just say, this isn't mine. I'm going to get through it as quick as I can, and then I'm going to let it go.
Wow. I think, David, you really have potential to be a teacher, you know? It's just such a really strong energy. Well, think about it. If you ever want to come on the show as a guest, you are always open and welcoming guests. So just you can connect with either Sue or myself. Give it a little try, see what happens. But you're definitely.
Thank you. I don't want to hug the show because I know other people are eager to talk to you. So it was great connecting with you. So, both of you, thank you very, very much. It was very fulfilling for me, and hopefully it was at least entertaining for you. I'm glad we talked, and I will definitely reach out again.
Please
thank
do,
you
David.
So
I'm,
much,
I
David.
Would,
please do.
Yeah, and call us back again. Let us know how you're doing. There's just something about your energy that, you know, I'd love to, if you ever want to be on the show, we'd love to have you. You know, just let us know.
Definitely.
All right.
I do have stories.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. All blessings.
Thank you, David. You have a wonderful night, hon.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of love and blessings to you, David.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah. My
Alrighty.
Computer's not wanting to do what I want it to do.
Oh, it's okay. We may have gremlins. You never know.
That's possible. Area code 256, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Yes, this is Kimberly from Georgia.
Hey,
Hi, Kimberly
from Georgia.
Hey.
Hi. Lovely to hear your voice, Kim. That's welcome.
Yeah. How can we help you tonight, hon?
I would just like... any message that comes through. I didn't have a particular question.
Okay,
I'm getting an image.
Go for it.
I'm seeing a laurel wreath. I feel like, I don't know what that means. I know what a laurel wreath represents, but it's like, did you have an academic achievement or some kind of achievement?
an academic achievement. My last degree was like 13 years ago.
Well, I'm not sure what a laurel, maybe I should look up, I'll look up what laurel means, because I'm seeing like a laurel wreath, like the old fashioned that they present it to athletes and stuff. Now, I don't know, it may be that you're going to be recognized for something, but I just, go ahead, Sue, and I'll just look up what the laurel means and see if I can get more clarification.
Okay. Hi, Kimberly. All right.
Hi.
Who's the lady in the kitchen baking and cooking?
My aunt Barbara.
Okay, she's passed?
Yes.
Very outspoken lady, very loving, but very outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She is asking, why are you waiting? Why are you not doing it?
Okay.
Do you understand what that means?
No.
You don't have anything that you've been contemplating, you've been debating, going back and forth, should I, shouldn't I? Nothing that you've been putting on hold?
Maybe writing a book. That's the only thing I could think.
Okay. Do you cook a lot of her recipes or do things like she did? Because she keeps showing me in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I had a recipe for her dressing. I remembered it. That's the only one that she didn't write down. She would always mouth what to do. So I made that one. But other than that, I don't definitely do not cook like she did.
Okay. She keeps saying, don't wait. Do it. I don't know what it means, but she is, it's more like, you've been waiting long enough, child, do it.
Okay.
What's going on relationship-wise?
I'm not in a relationship.
Are you looking for a relationship?
Yes, when it appears, of course.
Okay.
But hasn't been my focus.
She said he's not going to knock on your door.
Okay.
So you need to get out more. You need to get out, live your life more. I know things are limited on what we can do now, but you have to make yourself more available. You're not making yourself available for the right type of person.
Okay.
So, whatever it is that you've been debating about, go for it. Go move forward, even if it's slowly. Start moving forward and get out there and start living life and make yourself available.
Okay.
Okay. And quit being so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, Lynn, did you find what you were looking for, hon?
Yeah, the laurel, it does symbolize victory, but it also is a sign of fame, success, and prosperity. And it's also a balancing. As you rebalance your life, you claim it's reclaiming of your voice. So I think it's a good, it feels like, I see it just being offered to you. So you've either conquered something or you've achieved something that you meant to do, or maybe that's what Sue's message or Barbara's message was, to go whatever it is you've been putting on hold, that laurel is going to come to you. You mustn't be afraid that it's not going to reward you. Are you sure you haven't been hesitating about something? Was it maybe the book maybe the writing. Are you keen to write, or is it something like, I got to write? It's sort of like a
challenge. Not right now, it's I got to write. So it's not, sometimes yeah. I'll journal to get things out of my mind, but I know if it's in the flow, I can't be made to write. Otherwise, it's not going to be good. So right now, I'm not in the flow of writing.
Yeah, so the inspiration is not quite there.
No.
Well, that is what it is, you know. If you're not feeling it, you haven't gotten to that place yet where it might be you don't know what exactly it is you're writing about. But I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give up the dream, like just stick it on the back burner. But the laurel is sort of saying to you, find that voice and you rebalance, and it's going to bring you a victory of sorts. So whatever it is, and they're showing, they're saying cruise control. Are you sort of chugging along right now? At a sort of even keel?
Yeah.
They're referring to cruise control. So you're in a kind of a cruise control mode, which is not bad, but they're advising that you kick it up a little, kick it up a notch. Basically, they're using like all kinds of engine metaphors here, but the thing, just like rev up your engine a bit, get into a higher gear, and that's where you start to get that inspiration back. It doesn't mean you're going to start like writing a book, but something re-inspires you. They're saying it's been a while since you've had that almost childlike excitement about starting something new. Like, oh, let's go. Let's try this. What happens if we... Yeah, that's okay. It's almost like you need a firecracker of inspiration. You know, it's just like, boom, here we go. Oh, I love that feeling. I haven't felt that for a long time. And excitement. And you kind of wake up going, I can't wait to get at my project or whatever it is. I guess cruise control is lovely because you're feeling all like, you know, clip-clop along the road of life and everything. But give it a little shot. I get interested in something again, whatever it may be, you know. You actually have many, many, many choices of avenues to pursue. And I'm getting this feeling that sometimes, like, there's so many things you could do, it's hard picking, like, one thing to run with. I know that Ayurvedic medicine had been an interest of yours, and it feels like it's calling your name again. But not necessarily pursuing purely that, but the different types of alternate healing modalities is something I think that if you start to read up on that again and start to get excited and revamping your abilities as a healer to others, you have that in spades. You've just got that energy so in you. It's almost like it wants to get out, and it's like, you know, stop. Stop being in cruise control. Start to push that energy. You know, it's like almost like it's like a meandering stream, but you need a little white water, you know, a little rapids happening, you know, where you can get some excitement with your kayak. I'm talking in metaphors too, but you know what I mean? It's a feeling that I think you've been missing is that, ooh, it's exciting. Let's do this, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but that's all right because, you know, I get cruise control. I've been at it many times myself. It's like, oh, it's almost like safer to just kind of keep driving on a smooth stretch of highway rather than hit the back roads and find out what, you know. But I think you'll feel that again, Kimberly. I really do.
Okay.
But I do feel the laurel is a representative of something that's, you are going to be rewarded for something that you do finally take an interest and pursue. I think there's rewards for you on the other end of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Hope that helped. It was a bit hodgepodge, but there you go. Yeah.
No, no.
Well, you get a metaphor every time. Yeah. All righty.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Kimberly. Call us back and let us know how things go for you.
I will. Thank you both. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay, Kimberly.
You too, honey. Love and blessings.
Have a lovely night, hon. All righty.
Okay. Let's see. Area code 917. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please? Hello, 917. You're on the air. They changed their mind.
They may have gone to sleep.
Maybe. Okay.
Hi, ladies.
Area code 630. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi. My name is Dion.
Dion.
Hi, ladies.
Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
hi,
how can we
welcome.
Help you tonight,
thanks
hi?
For calling.
Yes.
Well, I don't have to leave my apartment like today. My lease isn't up until December, but, you know, like the housing market's gone to the roof. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, I know I'm very grateful for my apartment, but I don't want to live here another year. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can manifest myself a new place. And I don't want to live in a condo because I'm kind of tired of living next to other people in close quarters. A house could be a lot of work, so maybe a townhouse. But, you know, and it doesn't have to be today. But what do you think fits my energy? Because I feel like I'm just overthinking it.
Wow. Have you ever... Have you ever had a mobile home, Dion?
No.
I'm getting a feeling that you need to travel beyond, they're saying beyond your comfort zone. And I'm not sure if that means energetically or geographically. But I'm getting this message, like, go beyond your comfort zone. So... That may actually mean, are you mostly an urban dweller?
No, I live in Chicago.
Okay, but I mean, are you city or, like, have you ever considered living in a semi-rural area, like just outside?
Yeah, you know what? I lived in the country before and I stuck out like a sore thumb and it was like, I don't fit in. I tried the whole Green Acres, you know, Ava Gabor bit, but it didn't work.
No, it's like something that, it's like a balance almost, like.
And in between the
city. It feels like
the
you
country.
Need more. Yeah, like it feels like you need a little bit more green space around you. And if you're not feeling like you fit in the country, that may actually speak of a bit of a nature deficit. You know, it might mean that you just need to connect with the natural world a bit more. So, and that's doable. You can often find cheaper digs in small towns and stuff like that. It all depends, of course, on work and do you have to commute, whatever like that, you know. But... it just feels like you need to travel outside your comfort zone is the message that comes through. Sue, anything, are you picking up anything? It's a bit.
Yeah, I'm getting just pretty much the same thing, like a balance. Not big city, but not country. And think small. You don't need like a big fabulous mansion. You know, a smaller home would be ideal for you because it's your space. And you won't have to work. If you go into the big mansion, you have to work twice as hard. So you will be able to enjoy more of life going into a smaller space. But, yeah, I I'm seeing, like Lynn said, a balance. It's not really country. It's not really city. It's something a little bit slower paced, a little bit more laid back.
Yeah. You don't have to have a barn or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, y'all come back now, you hear?
Yeah, no, you don't have to go that far.
Yeah.
Dion, I just want to jump in. What would be the significance of movie posters? I'm seeing all movie posters, like a room with movie posters everywhere.
Well, I wrote a book, and everybody keeps telling me that it's going to become a movie.
Oh, that would be nice.
Cool.
I hope that's
sell my story to Hollywood.
Cool. Well, you should do. I'm seeing movie posters, and I don't know. I'm just giving you what's coming in. So I hope that's I hope that's significant for you. That's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that, I can buy a house.
What is the name of your book?
The name of my book is called Shattered Windows,
mm.
and it's a memoir. Number one release on Amazon.
Ooh, awesome. I will look it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me
so
eight
you,
years.
That, that's wonderful, too. You didn't give up. You stayed at it for
Absolutely.
8 years. That's a passion project for sure. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to find Google's being all goofy here. Okay. That's really neat. Well, a plug for your book. Let's see.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Shattered Windows. Amazon. Well, I'm getting images of shattered windows now.
So if you look up shattered windows in Amazon, you have to put in books. And then my author name, my pen name is Stella Rose. I think
Have
like five-star reviews right now. I mean, it has only been published like a month. But
yeah, but that's still neat.
Yeah, Walmart picked me up. I'm on eBay. Audible, I'm in the process of putting it on Audible. But I have been told that, you know, many people said, that's going to be a movie. That's going to be a movie. And I said, okay. And I know, like, if somebody buys the right to get a movie, it's like the going price is like $350,000. So with that, I can buy a house.
I found it. It's what a nice cover. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Thanks. That's me on the cover.
Well, that's gorgeous.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Wow. Well, wow. Shattered Windows, you guys. That's really neat. I would love to take that image of the movie posters as a, you know, an indication that it will, you know, keep plugging at that and keep working on that. That is exciting. Congratulations. That's wonderful. Wow.
New beginnings.
Absolutely. What a wonderful, journey for you. This is exciting. And yeah, well, I'm one of those people and it's going to be a movie. So that's very cool. Stella Rose. That's a really neat name. Okay, have you got Audrey? Do you know who Audrey might be?
I saw a poster of Audrey Hepburn today, and it said, nothing is impossible in this world because you are possible.
All right, that feels, there you go.
Yep.
They're saying, listen to Audrey. That's very, very true. And that's really good fuel for you to run on, too, is to know that nothing is impossible and just keep on plugging at it. When you do sell the movie rights, will you let us know, call us back and let us know? And I'm saying when, not if. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
How exciting. Well, that's manifestation for you, right? That's just how that works, as Ryan would say.
Yep.
That's how that works. Mm-hmm. Keep doing whatever you're doing.
It's interesting that you say that because when I saw, like, her face, I was thinking New York. And I'm like, that's outside my comfort zone.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, but you know, I don't know. I think you got to believe. You really do. And to go, it's really feel the fear, but do it anyway. Like if you go outside your comfort zone, you're like, well, hey, I've expanded my, it becomes part of your comfort zone. And, you know, you get used to it. New York might just be a place to visit and see if you can hook yourself up with an agent or, you know, it's a dare to dream, like really and truly, because you, I just feel like you've got a shot. You really do. 8 years. And you know what I love about the number eight is it's a very magical number, and it represents infinity. And I'm just going to very quickly look up the number eight for you, because it does have really cool meaning. So
that's nice of you. Thank you.
Oh no, you got to look these things up when they come in. That's the cool thing about it. If you get a if you get a sign, one thing Ryan used to always tell us to do, and I found it to be true, is when you get that sort of ringing, and it's not tinnitus or anything like that. You get a certain ringing in your ear, and it comes in. Check the time. And look up the number, and it's very often very apt and very, very pertinent to what you're experiencing at the time. So it's exciting how...
Yeah, that's your angels and spirit team talking to you, yeah.
Absolutely. Let's see. Okay, so number eight. I have a giant eight in the window in front of me. Eight is a symbol of infinity and a constant flow of energy and power. It is often related to material wealth, money, and success in business. So it's very, very, there's a lot of different meanings, so you can look it up, look up the symbolism of number eight. But I think that bodes well for you. And, number eight is the achiever and measures life by the goals it reaches. So it may have taken 8 years, but like what a journey, and how cool of you to rock it that way. Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
You
I really appreciate
you did
that.
It. Well,
I did do
no,
it. You know, like so many times I started and then I stopped and then I started and then I stopped and I started and I stopped. And it was like, oh, come on already. And then when the pandemic hit and everybody was stuck at home, and I was like, you know what? This is a perfect time for me to finish this because, you know, I don't want to die. Because, you know, when the pandemic first hit, we all thought we were going to die if we went outside. And I'm like, I'm not going to die and leave this work unfinished, you know?
There you go.
So,
yep. Yeah.
It all came
it's not so much. It's not so much the fear of death. It's like it's just so rotten to not be able to finish your work on Earth, right? So I think you've shown you've shown an amazing tenacity and a determination, and you did it. You got it done, and you should be very, very pleased with yourself. And then ready to take the next step, you know, prove your friends right and get that into a movie, you know. There are some amazing indie producers, filmmakers out there. There's so many these days, like it's almost like you could pick. But one of our callers, Katerina, is a filmmaker herself. I don't know if she's listening tonight, but... you know, I think if you put the request to the universe, the right connection will come along. The right filmmaker will come along. I hope it's Steven Spielberg and he offers you like $10 gazillion for it. But, you know, you'll get the right one. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Thank you.
It is awesome. Well, keep being awesome because you.
It says
like,
808 on my clock right now, just FYI.
Oh, well, there you go. It's as magic as you want to make it, because the magic is, it's real magic, as Wayne Dyer calls it. And, you know, the more you see it, you know, the more it surrounds you and the more it actually works. So we're here to be amazed and we're here to believe in those miracles, because what are miracles but everyday occurrences, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, please let us know how it goes, and keep. If you get good news, call us up and let us know, will you?
Yes, I will. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Thank you
for calling.
Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful
That's
night.
So lovely.
You too.
Oh,
okay,
nice.
Let's see. Where do we go next? 917, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hello?
Hello, you're
Hi.
On the air. Can we get your name, please?
Oh, it's Lisa. Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. How
Lisa.
Are you, Lisa?
Hi. Not bad at all.
How can we help you, hon?
Yes, ladies. Just wanted to see if there's any advice or any messages from my guides.
I just want them
to
stop harassing me. I'm sorry.
Who, your guides are harassing
you?
Yeah.
Like me. Like, for example, when I'm at work, I'm always, because I'm empathic too, but sometimes it's a little too much, and it's like they just do not stop.
Oh, well, good heavens. Just, you can actually ask them to back off, and they will. You can't, they cannot force their energy onto you.
Right.
So you must be, you must, yeah, you must have the energy open for them to do that. I'm just seeing, you know, the line, hiding your light under a bushel, they talk about it. You've heard that expression, hiding your light. Is this something you're not you're not putting out into the world fully that you should be doing?
Yeah, something I have to, two things that I need to do, I have to put out into the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something
okay.
Regards, mm-hmm.
Okay, no, go ahead, hon.
Yeah, one is regarding my childhood, something I have to do, yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty clear what that message is for you. Like, it's time to stop hiding your light. Time to
yes.
let that light shine. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know it, and it's just a matter of. Oh, have we lost Lisa? No. Yes, we have. Oops. Lisa's dropped, I think. Sorry about that.
Look out. Well, it's funny because we started getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
It's like everything was echoing.
Yeah.
So the gremlins
well,
at work.
I hope, yeah,
I, hope she
I do think
that.
So. Well, at least we did get the one message through that, you know, it's time to sort of
right.
get it out there, what you've been hesitating, because, yeah, it's
yeah,
funny
absolutely.
Because we have to. You know, if we don't want to sort of, you know, go off with our, like, we don't want to die with our music still in us, as they, I think that's another Wayne Dyerism, but, you know, it's not a fear of getting it all done right before the end. But the thing is, if you're procrastinating about something because you're afraid of the outcome, well, put it out there anyway, you know?
Right.
There is no thing, yeah, there's no failure. You know, if it doesn't work out, it's a lesson. If it does work out, it's an achievement, you know. But it's all useful and it's all good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Lisa, get that light shining.
Yeah, the only failure is in
not
trying.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and yeah, we've had some pretty cool people on tonight that I think have all done really amazing things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
You want to take another call?
Sure. Let's see who we've got next.
Okay. Area code 708. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
My name is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. How can we help you tonight?
Well, let the universe tell me what they want to tell me.
Oh dear.
Okay.
I have to ask you, Barbara, is there somebody I feel like there's some kind of emotional bullying going on. Is there somebody that is stressing you out that you need to put your hand up and say stop?
That can go in a lot of different ways.
Okay, I'll see if I can narrow this down a little bit.
Yeah,
it feels,
there's a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, now is there, there's a lot of guilt here. Is there somebody attempting to guilt you into doing something or some kind of service you don't really want to do? Are you being taken advantage of in some way?
Actually, no, because I just said, no, I won't do it.
Oh, well, there you go. Good for you. It's important. Yeah. What's coming into my mind is somebody, I think it was like an old Montel Williams show or something, right? And the subject was people who are like doormats. And this woman, she looked after people. She was like such a kind-hearted, wonderful soul. But she said, just because I'm willing to help out does not mean I want to be exploited, taken advantage of. And it made perfect sense, you know. And there's those people that give and give and give, and people go, oh yeah, yoink, and they just like keep taking the services when really it was meant as I'll help you out. But they, you know, it's like not a bottomless pit of energy, of somebody else's energy. So I'm just feeling like you may have, whatever you said no to was a good thing, because there are those who will drain you. They're like vampires, and they don't realize it. They're not bad guys, but, you know, I hope that clarifies it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. In my situation, it's a parent that's 94 and still feels like they're 30 and I'm 2. And, you know, and other siblings are involved. And you know what? I have, like you said, I've always done it out of kindness and caring because I'm very, very, very empathic. And the older person comes from, I deserve this. I can't explain it. It's 94, do they deserve something? Yeah, okay, fine. But maybe that can come from a different place. I don't feel it needs to be me. No, I don't. I did, and it took me quite a while to disconnect energetically. It really did. It was very hard, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
it is very
so
hard,
now
yeah.
that I did, others aren't happy that I did. See, be careful.
Yep.
Because,
you know, my grandmother used to say, be careful what you ask for. Well, they weren't listening when Nana was talking.
Well, the others are mad about it because they're not strong enough to stand up and say no themselves. So it's kind of like
I think they like being in a nicer place. See, it's easy when somebody else is getting the garbage and they're sitting on a high seat. Now you're in the pit, and guess what? Maybe it doesn't look and feel so good.
Well, see, that's it. You said no, so it's going to fall on them. It rolls downhill. And they are not going to be strong enough like you were to put their foot down and say no. So they don't want to be taken advantage of now that you're not there anymore for it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that you can't, good for you. You know, that's the step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Hard. But you have to be willing to let people have whatever feelings they have. If they're angry, well, that's their deal, you know, and it's not your responsibility. So, yeah.
Not at all.
People are weird, eh? And you know what? The minute you start to... Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
No, it's just, do I feel bad for my sisters. Yeah. But nobody, you know, and I don't want to say, oh, like for me. I don't mean it like that at all. Because everybody has their own little personality that they're raised with and, you know, you grow up with and the dynamics of the whole circle. Okay. Get that. But, you know, I feel bad in a way, in a small way. But the other point is that I've done a lot of things totally on my own with children and had no backup. I had no backup. None. Zero. Nada. You've had backup. Yeah. You've had backup. You've had partners. And you
absolutely
still can't handle
it.
You know?
Yeah, I can feel that's backed up on you a little bit, Barbara. You know, it's obviously you've been through that feeling of being used by people and giving it. It feels the unbalance gets really bad sometimes, you know. You can feel, and you start to get kind of angry. But you know what? That's perfectly natural. It's not the feelings you get. It's what you do about them that matters, right? And you're handling it well by saying no on your own behalf, like no. And you know, you can pronounce it any way you like, but no is what you're saying, right? And that's a sign of that's wise of you. That's wise.
What am I spirit? Yeah. That's all I have to ask. What do my spirit guides want me to know? Guide, I
see.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen an image of a hand reaching out to another hand, extended in, it's almost like a peacemaking, a sign of peacemaking. Are you at odds with your family right now, or is there a little bit of sort of noses out of joint and stuff like that?
I don't know because I haven't talked to them. And my nose is not out of joint. No. My nose is not out of joint.
No, not you. Not you. I'm talking about these other folks. Yeah,
could be. I don't know. I can talk to them.
No, it's sort of like reaching out in peace. Like if you can find a way to connect back to the family. Something that's interesting to study is the Ho'oponopono, the concept of it, in that... Dr. Hugh Len talks about changing yourself in order to change the other, right? So it's finding another way to relate to people. And when people tend to get angry, it's okay. Let them be angry. Let them have that, let them have their feelings. But if you can find a way to not allow that in, like so you're extending your boundaries out enough around you that their anger doesn't affect you, very much like if you're at the bottom of a pond, there can be a storm going up around the top of it, but at the bottom you're in a peaceful place and there's no turbulence. And you can actually decide to be in that place. And then other people's feelings totally belong to them and not to you. Something like David was talking about, it's other people's feelings you can carry. But anyway, try to keep that sort of, you know, coming from love, but firm, tough love with people, right? And you don't let them guilt you. And once it's like anything like that, once they get tired of trying, they'll give it up. They won't bother because they see they don't get anywhere with you. It takes practice, but it's worth it.
Well, I guess where I'm just at right now, you know, I give all out of love and care and concern. And my personality, from the time I've been a young child, once I'm done, I'm done. And
oh, yeah.
Just
no,
been,
that makes sense.
That's just been my personality. Yeah. You know, I'll go along.
Sure.
I'll, you know, go ahead and absorb things. But I just, do I feel like reaching out? Oh, absolutely not. Not at all. Because I just don't want to, I just don't want to get into anything. And you know what? There's a picture a pond. Once you set your foot in the water, it's a ripple effect. No matter if you stand your ground, matter if you stand your ground or not. And guess what? I don't want to create the ripple.
Good for you. That's really cool. Yeah, and again, we were talking about the confusing wisdom with the courage, you know, like to remove yourself from the stress source, you know, because other people can really do your head in, and a lot of people feel that if they can control your emotions, I don't know what kind of thing it does for them, but they're very often people, you know,
it's
reasonable.
But you know what? It's true. And it's about control.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm not coming from control. I was coming from a place of love and care and concern. And I was told, oh my God, let it go. Don't let it bother you. Well, guess what? I took your advice.
Yep. Oh, that's really cool.
Not bothering anymore.
Well, you get in trouble for that,
too.
You know, it's kind of don't do as I do as I say. Wrong.
Yeah, be reasonable. Do it my way. Yeah, it's very. I want to make a wall hanging of that. No, you're doing what's best for you, and you know, good for
you.
You
know,
and
act this, say this, do this. Excuse me. You need a robot.
Oh my
I
goodness!
Need that. Yeah.
It sounds like you've won your freedom after putting up with a lot, and it does happen. And sometimes you just have to walk away. You have to cut the ties in order to retain your sanity. Because that is, it's very subtle, this guilt, that, and especially family guilt, you know, you're like, I feel terrible, but why do I feel terrible? And then you get mad at feeling terrible, and it's a whole cycle, you know, and people can really do a head game with you.
Yeah, and when you come from a good spot, and you have, all it is genuine care and concern and worry. Oh, my God, are they cutting grass? Oh, my God, are they on a ladder? Oh, my God, you know, really? And it's like they're going to do what they want anyway, so why do you get so upset? You know, you just got to let it go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, they didn't realize in their foolishness what I was dealing with for quite some time. They didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. It's like, oh my God, let it go. Don't get yourself upset. Blah blah blah. Well, now you're not only hearing it, you're feeling it. And you know, like I say, it's a different situation. And I just wanted to, you know. Is somebody trying to do me under? No, maybe they are. I don't know. Because like I said, I have not reached out. And maybe the elder is not happy because it's a control thing. And, you know, at this age, you know, I don't think I want to, I don't want to be six again. Not when I'm 60 plus.
No, the message comes in, Barbara, go inward. So turn inward and ask, do some seriously good meditation, like meditation that's good for you. So whatever works for you, try doing some inner work. And I think maybe that's the direct, if you look inward rather than outward for a little bit, you'll find that you find your inner peace again, because I feel like others have disturbed your peace for too long, and you're now ready to have a little bit of an, you're doing that inside job of getting yourself back in balance, because you do have the ability to connect with the other side, but you've got to find a peaceful heart to do that. And I think there's still a little bit of like jangling energy from going through all this nonsense that you've had to go through with people. So take the time to rebalance and rediscover your inner peace. It's a pretty beautiful place to go.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this question. There was somebody that had messed with my energy, literally. And are they still in my energy? Because I kind of feel like they are. And it's not a family member.
You're talking about like an entanglement, right? An energetic entanglement?
Yes, I am.
Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Sue, what are you feeling?
I feel that it is still there, but it's because you're allowing it to be there.
Yes, exactly.
You are the only one that can get it to stop. You are the only one that can control it. The only time anybody else's energy can affect ours is when we allow it.
Well, I did at what I'm saying, though, is they, you know how they, people ask for permission? Can I get in? I said, yes. Well, I had realized that their intentions were not pure.
Okay,
so now it's time just to say enough. I will not allow this anymore. And you put the wall up and you call on your spirit team to surround you and protect you and eliminate that energy. As long as you have the door open, that energy is going to continue to intertwine with yours. You shut that door, close the window, put the wall up and say enough. You're on yours. I'm on mine. I will not tolerate this anymore. But you have to be firm.
Okay.
You have to stand firm. Because every chance you give, if you open that door just a crack, it's going to come back in. So you have to be aware. And when you start feeling it, nope, I told you this is enough. Go away. I'm not allowing it. But as long as you allow it, that's the only way anybody else can affect us is if we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So just stand very firm and close that door.
What if they're like what do they call it? Etheric surgeon?
Etheric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just see. I imagine that there is such a thing. There's all kinds of modalities of healing.
Yeah.
Etheric surgeon. Okay, etheric surgery. Oh, I see what you mean. You're cutting cords, cutting, clearing energy and whatnot. That's absolutely a thing, right? That is something you can practice. It's something you can do.
Oh, no, not something I want to do. That's what somebody else was.
Messing with you that way. Oh, again, as Sue said, not without your permission.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, they need your permission to do it. So,
but they did, and I didn't realize what they were, though.
It doesn't matter. Now your eyes are open. Your spirit, your energy, your space is under your control. So now that your eyes are open and you know what's going on, this is when you close that door and say, it's enough. No more. I will not allow it. It was a sneak. They snuck in just like, you know, a mouse will sneak into any little hole that it can get into, any little opening.
Right.
That's how some of these energetic beings are. The slightest little opening, and they take advantage of everything. It's just like the old saying, give them an inch and they will take a mile.
Okay.
So when you opened that crack
as unaware as you were, it wasn't just a crack, it was a full-blown opening. But now that you're aware, shut that door. Just, no, I'm done. You're not allowed. Go away. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You just be firm. You stand your ground. It's your space.
Right. Because yeah. I used to be able to look through my third eye and see like a gazillion stars. It was beautiful. I just felt like there were little souls staring down at me, okay? And now, and for what it has been for a couple of years, ever since this incident, it's like I'm under the dirt. I'm under
the
ground.
It's the blinder off. It's the blinder off.
Okay.
If it feels good to for you, you can use tools. For example, burning sage.
Oh yeah,
I do.
You
that.
Know, saging a place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's rituals you could practice, and they also strengthen the energy that you're putting into the karmic cutting. It's very interesting, the etheric surgery you're referring to. I would follow that up and find maybe if you need a practitioner or find out how to do it yourself. But as Sue says, it really is your call. You tell them to, you know, no uncertain terms, you know, like be off with you. Now, Glinda said it very well in The Wizard of Oz. You have no power here. Be gone. Right?
Yep. So, and it's that easy.
Yeah.
It is literally that easy.
Yeah, you have no power here.
Well,
be gone. And you may have to at the beginning of it, you may have to reset many times per day, right? But as you practice it, it becomes less and less until finally, you know, you feel that energy and you're like, out of here, you know, you're just, it's instantaneous. And after a while, it won't even be there. So it's practice. But you know what? You can do it.
Yes.
You're so much stronger than that.
Yeah. Use visual aids. See yourself just like Glinda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz, surrounded in that bubble of light. And nothing can penetrate that bubble. Nothing can penetrate it. And the same as Lynn said when she said, you have no power here, be gone. That is what you say and that is what you stick with. And since you're not able to see what you used to see out of your third eye, when you enclose yourself in that bubble of light, visualize yourself lifting the eye patch off of your third eye and opening your third eye back up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Well, I'm going to do my cord cutting before I put myself in a bubble so I don't include
Absolutely.
Those cords in my bubble.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You have an amazing energy, and I think you've got this, you know, you've got this, right? You know, whoever this may be that's messed with your energy, they don't stand a chance up against you, Barbara.
Well, I'm going to have to work at this, and I'm going to, like you said, I thought, you know, I've done it a couple of times, and I thought it would be it. And this has gone on maybe 3-4 years. I don't know. It's quite a while. And it just seems like it's not going. But now I'm really tired of it. I'm just really tired.
And
never
ever doubt the strength of your energy. You might see somebody else and think, oh, my gosh, their energy is more powerful than mine. No, it's not. Your energy is the most powerful energy in your world. All you have to do is have confidence and apply it. That's it.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep doing it. Like you say, whenever a thought comes up, or I get these vibrations in my left ear more, high-pitched tones. Not so much in my right, more in my left. So I'm just gonna have to sit in meditation more and really
Your spirit team stands to your left more.
it's more prominent. Your team is more prominent on your left than on your right. And
okay.
You have a guide named Joshua that
okay.
is there to give you strength and courage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I,
and I just have to add.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, like, I have a little flashlight that I work with during the show, and it's going off like crazy. So I think that's either your team, Joshua, or a guide. Anyway, you've got some serious energy, good energy around you. Carry
Definitely.
On. Sorry, I just needed to let you know that. Mm.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm sorry to take so much time with you ladies, but thank you. I really, and I'm going to
okay.
do that. So I'm going to really, you know, focus on it and until I can get my vision back of what I had. See, that's how I feel.
It's
going to
come back.
Because it hasn't returned.
It will. It will.
It's
going to be easier than you think. Yeah. Just got to understand
so.
Your own power, and you are completely
yeah.
powerful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're
I will
so
have
welcome.
To call
thank
back, because
you
folks have been so kind. I will have
oh,
to call
well,
back.
Do call
and
back.
Let you know.
Yeah,
thank
call
you
back
so
anytime.
Much.
You're
I appreciate
with...
you.
Yeah.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Fabulous.
Bye, honey. You have a wonderful night.
You too.
We got
okay.
Lisa
yeah,
back, did we?
Yeah. Is it gonna? Hi, is this Lisa?
I'm sorry, this is Lisa. We got cut off before?
Yes,
yeah.
ma'am. I don't know what happened there.
Yes.
I'm
My
glad you called back.
Phone. Yes.
Fell off the
yes.
boat. Got you back. That's good. But we were talking about hiding your light under a bushel, so to speak, Lisa, and like letting that light mm-hmm. out and shine finally. Yeah, that's. But you already know that you should do that, right? It's time.
Yes, okay.
It's a beautiful light. Yeah,
yes.
It's time. Yeah,
okay.
Don't be. It,
yeah, it's been a yeah.
Don't be afraid. It's almost
okay,
like
okay.
you are. Yeah, it's almost like a superstitious fear of, like almost like letting it go, like letting an infant go out into the world, and it's like, it's such a nice little dream, and nobody's buggered up with it yet. Excuse my French. So yeah, it's almost like a fear of letting it out there, but the world won't hurt it. You will protect your dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fell off the boat. Yeah.
Okay.
What,
I will.
Yeah, what does
oh,
fell off?
Oh.
What does fell off the boat mean, Lisa?
What does what you said fell off the what?
Fell off the boat.
Fell off the boat. That means I saw a movie one time. I think it was the Titanic, and when
okay.
there was a scene when there was enough room on the boat, but they wouldn't let. People that were trying to, they would not let any more people on the smaller boats to. I mean, they would not. Okay, so okay, in the movie, the Titanic, there's a scene.
Yeah.
Where I think this actress, I think her name is Catherine Bates. I think that's her name. But
yeah,
she felt that it was wrong when I think it was. Some people they were trying to they wanted to get on a small they wanted to leave the ship to get on a smaller boat to escape, you know, because the ship was sinking. And I hope I'm saying this correctly. And the lady, I think her name is, as I mentioned, Catherine Bates, she said, "Oh my gosh, you guys are wrong. You are so wrong. What you did? There's enough room on the boat." She said, "You guys are cowards. You need to let the lady and the kids on the boat." So they turned the boat back around to go and get the lady and the kids. Because she thought that was wrong. So there was things that happened in my childhood that was completely wrong that I never talked about. And
mm-hmm.
I'm in therapy, and I finally confessed to my father, and he wished I had said something years ago. He said, "Why didn't you say anything?" He's extremely mad, He said, why didn't you say it? He said, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, those are the things that I have to get out that happened to me.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. It's funny because do you feel like you can see the lifeboat, but you're not able to get in it yet?
I can see. You know what? It's, my father told me to go ahead. Like how you guys are telling me not to be afraid. And he says, go ahead. You know, do everything that you need to do. He said, go right ahead. Don't be afraid.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and that's your lifeboat. That's your strength. That's your lifeboat. And I know it sounds ridiculous and next to impossible to do, but believe me, I have done it. It's very difficult, but you have to forgive that individual, not for them, not for what they did, because that was completely horrendous and not right. You have to forgive for yourself so you don't carry that burden with you.
Yes.
You have to be able to release that burden from your spirit to keep yourself strong.
You're right. And that's what my therapist told me. She said, you have to release everything. She said, because what I'm going to do, actually, I'm scheduled to take a polygraph test at the end of the month. So that way, because the state that I live in still accepts reports of child abuse. So I'm submitting the report to them along with the polygraph test because it'll be my mother's word of my biological mother's word of a mind. So they told me to take my time, but just to go ahead and submit everything in as soon as possible. Because the quicker submit all the information, my psychotherapist told me I'll feel a lot better. So that everything that happened to you is going to become a complete memory. You're not going to remember anything.
Yeah.
You can remember, but it won't affect you. It will free you from it. And that's what you need. You need the strength and the courage and the freedom from the experience.
Yeah.
Yes. So I will be taking, I am definitely doing it. I didn't know it had to It always had taken effect on me for many years, and it changed my childhood, and it affected my adulthood. But once I got into therapy, I was able to just kind of go back and talk about things that had happened, and all those things that had happened to me were just horrific. It was just, you were a child.
Yeah.
That's what my psychotherapist said. So, yeah, it was physical child abuse, something that me personally, I can never hit a kid. not the things that happened to me. No, that should have never happened. Yeah.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know firsthand, honey. I understand completely. And it took me until I was 60 years old. And my mother had been dead for a year before I was able to let it go. It controlled my life until I was 60 years old. So the sooner you can get the strength, the sooner you will be free.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Yes. And plus I'm going to do a news article about the child abuse, and I'm going to put this on Facebook too, so... And my psychotherapist says, she said, don't worry about what people think. Do it for you. Don't worry about what your niece, your nephew say, aunt, uncle. She says, don't worry about them. It happened to you. It didn't happen to them. You're the one
and
that has to
it's your life. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen to anybody else, it might not have happened to the others that were close. And they might not have seen it, but it's your experience, it's your life, it's your story. You tell it however you need to tell it.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Mm-hmm.
Of course she's going to lie, but yeah, she's going to lie.
Well, of course, but that's on her. That's not on you. That's on her.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think they did anything wrong. They think they did everything right. And they can't accept responsibility for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stand up and speak and say, yes, it was wrong. This is my life. I'm taking control, and you have no control anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, yes. Yep, but I'm glad, yes. I'm glad that's what my guys want me to do. So, yes, I am doing that.
When you hear a good
message,
it just popped up. It just came in, and I wrote it down. You are not the crazy one. You are not the crazy one. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, thank them. I'm just the channeler. You know, you are not the crazy one. It's very, you can twist your feelings, your self-esteem and everything can get so twisted around. And where a lot of that anger comes from, too, is, you know, they make you, like, it's gaslighting. They make you feel crazy. Like, you know, this is... You're the abnormal, and it's not true. You're not the crazy one. I love that. That's a really cool message.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And it helps so much because it ain't your fault. And, you know, there's so much victim blaming that goes on that, you know, I'm not surprised more people don't go loopy, you know, because they're so insecure. Like, what if it is my fault? It's not your fault, you know.
Yep.
So. You're on a good, healthy path towards healing. You really are, Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you've got it in you to work your way through this and back into balance again. And it's worth it. It's worth the work it takes, you know. I mean, look at Sue. She's brilliant. And, you know, she's chewed through that brick wall and come out on the other side pretty darn good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I remember you doing the work. I really do. And I'm like, this is like what courage looks like. And wow, you know, it's excellent. And you know what else? Once you get through that thing and get out on the other side of it, then you can do what Sue does and you turn that energy to helping others. And it makes a ripple out into the world of good things. Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what I would like to do, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think you're already doing it just by, you know, calling in here and just letting that light shine. Because, you know, the light is healing, isn't it? You know, it really is.
Definitely is.
Yeah. Way to go. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some pretty brave and cool people on tonight. I'm really, really impressed that, you know, because sometimes I'm a little like David and I think, is everybody just like sleepwalking? But, you know, then we get callers like tonight and it's like, oh, no, people are awake and they're aware and they're becoming enlightened. Yeah. It's what's going to help us save the whole planet, you know, and, I really liked the Jack Layton quote that I used just in our little slideshow there, is that love is better than anger, hope is better than despair, and what was the other one? Anyway, optimism, is better. Yeah, anyway, I garbled it all up. No, that was terrible. But anyway... No, I put it in our slideshow. I just loved it so much. But anyway, I'm just going to see if I can find it and read it properly. Oh, my goodness. How silly. It's too funny. Jack Layton. Oh, here we are. Love is better than anger. Hope is better than fear. And optimism is better than despair. So let us be loving and... Oops. It disappeared. Let us be loving, hopeful, and optimistic, and we will change the world. That's Jack Layton. Anyway, sorry, I garbled. That's so good. Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's true, too. Like, we really, if we pull together, we're all in the same boat. Like, this planet is holding everybody. So we've all got to pull together in the same boat. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's more of us in the same boat than we think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I have great hope for you, Lisa, and I think you're going to be helping others as you go. You know, you're going to be paying that energy forward and making the world a better place.
Thank you so much. Okay, I can't wait. Thanks for the encouragement.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, call back anytime. Right. Let us know how it's going, honey.
All right. Thank
lovely.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. Lovely.
It is. It is. Well, we are
I think we're out
of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got a few minutes. You want to give your contact information, Lynn?
Yeah. If you want to get in touch, you can find me at lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. I'm also on Facebook, Lynn Bleasdale, and the Sacred Embers website. You can find us. I'll just give that address. It's sacredembershow.wixsite.com/love. You find Sue there, too. So go ahead, Sue.
Yes. And Jessica is Jessica Marie Tatro, and she is on Facebook. And she is also has a group called Jaden's Way Speaks from Heaven. And I am Sue Fields Del Monte on Facebook. We can all be reached through the Sacred Embers group or the Sacred Embers website.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I was just going to say to 951 who called in kind of towards the end, call us back. We'll be back next week. And I think we'll do part two on fear because that's quite the topic, eh? I think we need to.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we'll have Jessica and Jaden with us. And we've certainly had a lot of spirit energy with us tonight. Like, that little light's been going on and off and on and off. And that's very cool. So we'll plan a Zoom thing where we can actually get a video and people can see what I'm talking about. Because, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So,
yes, definitely.
Sue,
that would be wonderful.
I think so. Yeah, it's about time. Anyway, it's brilliant working with you, my dear. I love you very much.
Well,
and we'll see
you
next
and I
week.
Love you.
I can feel
you
that.
Have a wonderful.
And ready for Louie?
Ready for Louie. And thank you, everybody that called in. Love and light to all.
Love and light.
Green, red roses. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day. Dark sacred night.